And the recording has been restarted also at 9:31.
Great, thank you. All right, board members, we are going to go into agenda item number 9A, case 2226, Scott Sloan. Before we start into the initial reviews, I do want to take a minute for those who are on the call and on the agenda for initial reviews to just read a brief script about how we...
And the recording has been restarted also at 9:31.
Great, thank you. All right, board members, we are going to go into agenda item number 9A, case 2226, Scott Sloan. Before we start into the initial reviews, I do want to take a minute for those who are on the call and on the agenda for initial reviews to just read a brief script about how we run an initial review so you know what to expect. This is the time and place scheduled for board initial reviews to be to review of complaints. There are we've already covered a couple, so there's four left to review. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts initial interviews, reviews. We first begin with introductions. My name is Dr. King, and I'm the board president. Other board members, do you mind introducing yourselves, please?
Karen Bustillo, professional member, board vice president.
Giovanni Leone, professional member, secretary.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Okay, thank you. For those participating in the initial reviews, please be aware that we have read all of the material submitted. If at any time it's necessary to refer to a patient, please use their initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary of the investigative report from our staff. Once the staff is completed, then the board will ask the complainant, if they're present, if they wish to address the board, and then the board will ask the professional, and if they are present and are represented by counsel, if they would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time repeating information that the board has already received. You will be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took for the investigative summary, about 5 minutes or so. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or place for the complainant or the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy after being given an opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect that time for our discussion and not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary action, such as issuing an advisory letter or an order for continuing education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. And before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded, and accordingly, please speak clearly and loudly, and only one person at a time, please. Okay, so we have case A, 2226, Scott Sloan. Mr. Sloan, are you present? You might be muted. I'm not hearing you. Mr. Sloan, are you here? Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. I was unmuting my phone and not star six. I am here.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Sloan.
Hello there.
Hi. Ms. Richardson, would you please give us a summary of the case, please?
Of course. Case 2226 was opened after reviewing the complaint received from the respondent's previous employer. The employer at the time alleged that Mr. Sloan had abandoned his patients and did not provide services per the patient's plan of care. After review of the complaint details, it was determined that the complaint filed against Mr. Sloan was filed approximately 1 month after he had filed a complaint with this agency against his supervising physical therapist, Mr. Braylon Lane. That was case number 2117. It was decided to proceed with the investigation adjudication of Mr. Lane's case prior to completing the investigation of Mr. Sloan's case. Mr. Lane's case was adjudicated in October of 2022. Mr. Sloan has received a copy of the investigative report. The potential violations cited in the report include ARS 3220445, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant, and ARS 3220440, failing to maintain adequate patient records as it specifically relates to R424303G1. A physical therapist who provides a selected treatment intervention under general supervision shall document in the patient record the name and license number of the supervising physical therapist. I do want to note for the board that at the time that I interviewed Mr. Sloan, when I was doing the investigation for Mr. Lane, I made Mr. Sloan aware of the need for him to identify his supervising physical therapist credential and license number when he's working under general supervision. We've since had another conversation that, and he indicated that he is doing that, but understand too that the records that I was reviewing at the time were those that where they had not been assigned. So he states that he's, when he does work under general supervision at this time, he is listing the therapist's name, credential, and license number. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Sloan, would you like to make a brief statement to the board?
As far as the general supervision, this was the first job that I had where I did work under general supervision. So that's not an excuse, but it was, and it just didn't dawn on me that I needed to do that. And when I talked to the investigator, she had mentioned that to me, and then I had corrected that.
Thank you. Are you okay with answering any questions the board might have for you?
Sure.
Thanks. Okay. All right, board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Sloan? Mr. Sloan, for me, I just have a quick question. So it looks like as I'm reading through all of the materials that the complaint came, basically that you were being accused of abandoning your patients by not seeing them. But, and can you just tell me a little bit about some of those refusals to see patients? What was behind that?
Well, one patient, he was, let's see him. There was another patient who had feces and urine in the yard where we needed work. And I told the mom that I'm not going to do that anymore until that environment is cleaned up. We could not work in the front of the of their apartment because it was all sidewalk at the top. Their house was cluttered. I mean, it was, I mean, wall-to-wall boxes, tables. You could barely navigate to get through to do any work with him. So I refused to do that. And then the others, I didn't work with them because they didn't have completed plans of care. And I talked to the investigator about that, and that's why.
Thank you.
And I think, Mr. Sloan, you told me one of the, and I think it bears out in the evidence that there was, if a patient was coming up on a fourth visit, you had shared with me that you wouldn't see the patient until the PT came back onto the case.
Right. If I said that.
Was that your practice, Mr. Sloan, that if you're the patient, you've seen them three times and the fourth visit needed to be by the PT, and if the PT didn't schedule them, did you continue to see them for the fourth visit or did you typically not?
Well, typically no. I mean, okay. You're the fourth visit.
Okay. Thank you. how were you made aware each day of who your supervising PT was?
Well, when I first started, the PT, can I say his name or just call him PT?
Is it considered the same person?
No. So the PT that was put on probation, because I won't say his name without permission, he was my supervisor from the first day. He was always my supervisor. Okay. That never changed. If I worked with another physical therapist, then I would presume that that was their patient.
Mm-hmm. And so was it a practice of theirs or yours to try to touch base before you saw the patients?
Well, whenever I worked with another PT, it was usually that was a supervision visit.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Sloan? All right. Mr. Sloan, do you want to make a final statement or let us know anything else that we need to know before we go into deliberations? One more time, Mr. Sloan, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Are there any other statements or anything else you'd like us to know before?
Forgive me, I thought that you were addressing the board. No, there, I don't have anything else.
Okay. All right. Hey, thank you so much. All right, board members, if you don't have any other questions for him, then let's discuss your thoughts on the substantiation of this complaint.
Dr. King, this is Mr. Greer. My initial thoughts were to dismiss this case as it appears to be entirely retaliatory.
Mm-hmm.
If the board's not inclined to do that, I think maybe we could issue a letter of concern regarding the notation of who his supervisor is or advisory letter. But my indications would be to dismiss.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm inclined to agree. I think that, especially given the fact that the complainant kind of, once we resolved the complaint against him, decided that he wasn't interested in participating anymore, and that is suggested for the same thing.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, Mr. Greer, do you want to make a motion to take no action or to dismiss?
I will move to dismiss this case.
Second. Okay. Okay. Judy, do you mind calling the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2026 against Scott Sloan, PTA. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Board members, if it's okay with you, while we have Mr. Sloan on the call, there's another agenda item on our agenda 10A1 to review the staff's determination not to open a complaint based on information submitted by Mr. Sloan. Are you okay that if we move to that and have that discussion with him now?
Absolutely. I know that you've got a lot on the agenda, and I didn't want to wait till later, so by all means, please.
Okay. Thank you. Mindy or Judy, do you want to give us a summary of what we're discussing?
That's me. Okay. So on June 27th, 2023, the board reviewed a complaint filed against J.O. as a preliminary hearing. In this case, the board voted to take no action. after the June 27th hearing, Mr. Sloan, the complainant from the JO case, emailed staff to convey his dissatisfaction with the board's actions, and then on July 15th, 2023, filed a subsequent complaint with the board. Mr. Sloan's complaint from July 15th was reviewed by Ms. Richardson, and the information provided was compared to the previously adjudicated case against JO. Ms. Richardson's review failed to identify any new information or allegations within the July 15th complaint. Therefore, staff made the determination not to open a new complaint. On August 11th, I emailed Mr. Sloan to acknowledge his disagreement with the board's decision and explain the extensive and exhaustive process involved with the board's meeting preparation and procedures. He was also informed that the review of his complaint of July 15th did not yield any new information or allegations from the previously adjudicated matter, and the case was not expected to be reopened. This matter is being brought forward to inform the board of staff's actions, and if the board determines a different action is more appropriate, then it's requested that the board direct staff accordingly.
Thanks, Judy. Okay, well, it sounds to me like that Mindy did a deep dive into the new complaint and didn't find any new information that could potentially redirect the conversation of the board from the first adjudication of the complaint. Is that right?
Okay. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think that my inclination is that we take no action. I think we've already investigated this and come to a conclusion.
I agree.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, it sounds like it was a very unfortunate employer-employee relationship, but I'm not finding any violation of statute or rule.
Forgive me for jumping in. Let me say my piece on this, because it sounds like that you're going to go ahead and make a decision and without letting me make a statement on this. So that day, the JO reported the supervision law to me. 8 hours went by, and then he accused me of patient abandonment. That is in a text message. I was just absolved of that allegation just a few minutes ago. The fact that this person did that and then continue to hound me about abandoning patients, and then he fired me that day because of it, with that OT doing the same thing and telling me to get to work when I would have been working autonomously, that seemed to be missed. Now, recognizing that this board doesn't have anything to do with an OT unless they do something that requires this board's attention, that PTA from 9:55 a.m. throughout the day let me go to work and work autonomously. And then he said at the end of the day, yes, you did abandon your patients. No, I didn't abandon my patients. And then he fired me because of it, because he would have received a complaint from the client. For him to do that, when I abided by the statute and I waited to get supervision confirmation by that PT who didn't get a hold of me for 3.5 hours, and I'm not going to put my certificate in jeopardy for anybody, you've dismissed it. So I would like to know why that this board did not address when this PTA falsely accused me of patient abandonment, which is basically saying you harmed the patients that day. But I didn't harm any patients that day. I abided by the statute. So that's what I'd like this board to address. Whatever the outcome is, I'd like you to address that to me, why that you didn't take that into consideration. And the audio recording that you have from June at no time mentions patient abandonment, yet that was in the documentation that I did submit. That's what I wanted to be addressed ultimately in that complaint. The professional conduct of this PTA, who was the employer who had power over me, not just being a PTA that had power over me. This is what I wanted you to address and then charge with unprofessional conduct. That was my point. So I'd like to hear what the board has to say about that.
This is Mr. Breer. I would just move that we take no action.
I think we have a motion and a second on that.
Madam Chair, members of the board, it's not on the agenda for an action item. It was merely a report from the executive director to the board.
Mr. Harris, it does say review, discussion, and possible action. I think that the action was just in support of the staff's determination not to open a complaint, and so I would make a motion that we support the staff's decision. So if that's okay, maybe modify yours a little bit, Josh, and that we support the staff's decision and not taking action in opening a complaint, so we don't take any action. Is that okay?
Thank you, Dr. King. I apologize for that.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, so we have a motion and a second.
I'm sorry, who did the first and who did the second?
Josh Greer did the first and I did the second.
Okay, thank you.
I seconded.
It's been moved and seconded to support the staff's decision to not open a complaint in this matter. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yeah.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Button?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Ms. Chappies, I need to step out, as we previously discussed. I'll return as soon as I can.
Thank you.
Mr. Sloan, we appreciate your comments, there have been decisions made. So thank you for being on. Thank you for answering questions around your case. And at this point, these matters are closed.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Judy, with Mr. Greer out, do we still have a quorum or should we take a break?
We do still have a quorum.
Okay, excellent. Then we will continue to 9B, case number 2311, Cerise Oakley. Is Ms. Oakley on the call?
Good morning, members of the board. I'm Gary Fidel. I'm counsel for Ms. Oakley. And up until about 10 minutes ago, she was on the line. Oh, I think she's back now.
Here I am.
Okay,
I do see her. Hi, Ms. Oakley. Thank you, Mr. Fidel. So we've got Cerise Oakley and Mr. Fidel on the call. And Cerise, I don't know if you were on and heard kind of how initial reviews go, but we'll first start with Mindy Richardson giving us a summary of the case, and then we'll give you an opportunity to speak to us.
Okay. Before I do that, I just want to ensure that the patient who filed the complaint, her initials are SW. Is SW on the call? SW, are you on the call? Okay. The board opened case 2311 after review of the complaint from patient SW. The patient stated that Ms. Oakley caused a significant increase in pain during her initial evaluation, which occurred on February 2nd of 2023. Ms. Oakley and her attorney received a copy of the investigative report and submitted a supplemental response, which was included in your review materials as Exhibit 4. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Oakley or Mr. Fidel, would you like to make an opening statement to the board?
Members of the board and Dr. King, I'll go first and be very brief in my comments. I'm being mindful of the fact you have read everything and you reminded me not to repeat, so I won't repeat. But I will tell you, and I think you all have surmised this, the detail in both responses reflects very good documentation, which is not always the situation that we encounter. So I think you all have a very good picture of my client's interaction with the patient And I think under those circumstances and given everything that Cerise and I have discussed and what I see here, it's appropriate to dismiss the complaint. So that's the extent of my comments. And certainly if you have any questions for Cerise, she will do her best with that.
Thank you, Mr. Fidel. Ms. Oakley, would you like to make a statement?
I would like to make sure that it's very clear that I have been putting forth a lot of diligent work toward making my documentation very clear and adhering to the board and insurance regulations, and I will continue to improve as much as I can in the future.
Thank you. Board members, do you have questions for Ms. Oakley regarding the complaint?
Ms. Oakley, was there any specific treatment that was done that day, like manually with the patient, or any specific exercises that were done that she's saying would have aggravated the symptoms?
I believe the aggravation was simply from the examination. I did not do any treatment beyond exercise education for the home exercise program and for education. No hands-on treatment, no manual therapy. It was primarily the home exercise program self-care and the gait training, just a brief review of using the right side of the body for ambulating with an assistive device.
Okay. Can you kind of take us through a little bit of what do you do as part of your examination? What kind of movements are you taking the patient through? Palpation, anything like that?
Sure. I start with vital signs. We'll go over seated muscle testing, lumbar range of motion, and standing. Then going on to the mat table and doing assessments such as the special testing that's pertinent in that position, range of motion of the hips. I would do joint mobility. So for the lumbar spine, looking at the lumbar and thoracic mobility of the joints, and then going into the review of the home program in that position, and then I ended with her, I believe, with the gait training before she left. All right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're muted, Dr. King.
Do you recall any time during the evaluation that she reported to you increased pain in the area that she felt she had pain again afterwards, and if so, how did you respond?
I got the impression that she had discomfort with the provoking special test. So some of those were consistent with a positive for those special tests. Others did not seem consistent with the special test, so I noted inconclusive findings for those. She wasn't able to say that it reproduced her pain that she came for physical therapy for, but rather it was uncomfortable, such as the SLR test.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything unusual about the evaluation that, you know, struck you and after she left that you wondered, was she, you know, would she continue with therapy?
It became, I guess I was concerned when she canceled her future visits after the initial evaluation, and I reached out, spoke to her on the phone, and she did not want to pursue other modes of care. So I offered the chronic pain group, for instance, which is a different type of therapy that she declined. I tried to explain the reason why potential irritation with that initial evaluation and assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing, she seemed very happy to learn things such as the right use of or the most optimal use of using the cane to limit her discomfort walking, things like that. I didn't get the impression during that initial contact.
Okay, thank you. Karen or Mr. Barton, do you have any questions for Ms. Oakley?
I don't. You know, I do have some questions for the complainant, but since she's not here, I suppose we'll proceed as best we can. So.
Mr. Fidel or Ms. Oakley, would you like to make a final statement before we go into deliberation?
I have nothing more to add. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think so. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So this time we'll go into deliberations. I do want to say that I was incredibly impressed with her documentation. It was very thorough, which makes adjudicating cases like this, I think, more efficient when we really, really have a story of exactly what happened and what, you know, what the therapist did. So I'm commending Ms. Oakley on her documentation. And it supported the decisions that she made in developing her plan of care. So that was great and helpful. I actually, you know, just personally myself, reading all the investigative report and listening to Mindy and Ms. Oakley, I'm not finding any substantiation in the complaint. I do think it's unfortunate, but not uncommon, that patients are more sore after their initial session or a few as they move toward healing. So it's not unusual, but I think it's unfortunate that her pain increased following the evaluation, but I'm not finding any evidence of injury myself. Does anyone else see something that I'm missing potentially? Karen or Giovanni, you're an outpatient more than I am.
I would agree with you, Kelly, on this one for sure. I found the documentation and the investigative report to be very thorough, very easy to follow. And so I do think sometimes that there is a little bit of a disconnect when a patient comes in with a diagnosis and they say, this is what I have. And then the physical therapist then has to substantiate what that means. And the patients don't always realize that that does occasionally provoke symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably what happened in this case. The patient thought she knew what she was going to be treated for, but the therapist, it's still their responsibility to determine, you know, what they are treating. And so I'm definitely inclined to take no action.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that as well. It's not uncommon for a patient to come in for their eval and have symptoms later on. That's the whole, you know, point of making sure that you come back and are consistent with therapy so that we can do something about that. You know, and it's unfortunate that the patient didn't see it necessary to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with those thoughts in mind, then I'll make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Okay. And any further questions or thoughts that we've missed?
My only thought is along the same lines. I think this is, you know, this is the type of documentation we hope to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it a lot easier to tell the what happened and to tell that nothing untoward happened, which I really appreciate, having spent a lot of time digging through records where I cannot tell what happened.
Yes. So true, Mr. Barton. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Chepius, want to call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2311, Cerise Oakley, PT. Dr. King?
Yeah.
Dr. Castillo?
Yeah.
Dr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer is absent. Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
All right. Best of luck, Ms. Oakley. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Thank you, Mr. Fidel, for being here.
Thank you, members of the board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We are at agenda item 9C, case 2325, Octavia Richardson, PTA. Is Ms. Richardson on the call with us?
I am.
Hi, how are you? Are you represented, Ms. Richardson?
I am by Mr. Paul Ramos.
I'm on at 12, Paul Ramos for Ms. Richardson.
Paul Ramos. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you so much. All right, so we'll first hear from Mindy, who will give us a summary of the case, and then we'll have an opportunity to speak with you and hear from you, Ms. Richardson.
Okay. Case 2325, you reviewed this case at your June meeting, and you voted to continue the matter pending Ms. Richardson's conclusion of her jail term that concluded August 12th of 2023. As background, Ms. Richardson was arrested for two counts of aggravated DUI and wrong-way driving on October 10th of 2021. At the time of her arrest, her BAC was 0.135. On or about May 4th of 2022, she appeared in court in response to a summons. She ultimately did not report the charges within the 10-day regulatory requirement. On April 4th of 2023, she pled guilty and was convicted of endangerment, a Class 6 felony, and DUI, a Class 1 misdemeanor. Her sentencing occurred on 6-12-23, and she was immediately remanded to serve a two-month jail term. She did renew her PTA certificate for the 2022-2024 period and stated on her renewal application that she had been charged with aggravated DUI, but she had failed to originally report the charges within the 10-day timeline, as I mentioned. Ms. Richardson and her attorney have been provided an opportunity to receive the investigative report, but they did not request a copy. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-7, conviction of a felony, whether or not involving moral turpitude or a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, ARS 32-3208, practicing as a physical therapist or working as a physical therapist assistant when physical or mental abilities are impaired by disease or trauma, by the use of controlled substances or other habit-forming drugs, chemicals, or alcohol, or by other causes, ARS 32-3208, mandatory reporting requirements, both A and B, and ARS 32-2044-18, interfering with an investigation or disciplinary proceeding by failing to cooperate by willful misrepresentation of the facts or by the use of threats or harassment against any patient or witness to prevent the patient or witness from providing evidence in a disciplinary proceeding or any legal action. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Richardson, would you or Mr. Ramos like to make an opening statement?
Yeah, this is Paul Ramos. If I can, just briefly, and then I'll pass on to Ms. Richardson. I guess I wanted the board to be aware, just kind of my thoughts on the case policies of the county attorney's office and discretionary issues that come up with these types of allegations. But for, and I'm going to call it a fairly new provision to the aggravated DUI statute, but for that, this matter would have been a misdemeanor matter. And it's also kind of a bit discretionary. I'll explain. The basis for the aggravated nature of the DUI is driving the wrong way on a roadway. This was a situation where my client was doing that for I believe a short period of time. She realized, corrected, and began to travel in the appropriate direction. I was contacted by law enforcement after the fact, and eventually, as the board is aware, was charged with the aggravated DUI as a result of this. I've encountered cases where suspects / defendants have been stopped, investigated for DUI that were driving in the opposite direction of the wrong way on the road and have, pursuant to discretion, been charged or forwarded the case over as misdemeanor allegation. This was not one of them, obviously. And also I wanted to address the county attorney policies and procedures. The vehicular unit within the county attorney, Maricopa County Attorney's Office has extremely tough policies with regard to aggravated DUIs. As Ms. Richardson is fully aware and has encountered, having a fairly tough plea offer, in my opinion, and what I would still consider for anybody, a significant amount of jail time as a term of her probation. That's been an issue with the county attorney's office for a significant period of time. I understand it's, you know, kind of a public policy to protect the public's type of policy, but it is very tough. She, I don't believe has any other history similar to this. And I would also note that this, and from what we can tell, did not affect or impair patient care. So I'll pass on to Ms. Richardson.
Chris, just to piggyback on what he said, did not impair patient care because I was not, it was at night, I wasn't treating. I've never been in trouble before. I've been a therapist for approximately 17 years, never had any issues with any other boards. This is my first and last mishap. And I mean, that's all I have to say. I take my job seriously. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say I take my professional career seriously, and I, like I said, this was truly an accident. And as far as the reporting goes, which I think I documented, I had a previous lawyer who, when the incident initially happened, I consulted with him, and he stated that as my attorney in representation of me, that he would report to the board. And I assumed that it was done, and it wasn't. So I now know that this won't ever happen again, but if it ever happens again, just to take, you know, the responsibility for myself and not depend on someone else to do it.
Thank you. Mr. Ramos, were you going to make another statement?
Yeah, I just wanted to, take a minute to address the reporting issue, but she covered it. She hadn't covered it when I stepped in, but she covered it after the fact. So I had nothing further to add with regard to that.
Thank you. Okay, board members, do you have questions from Ms. Richardson?
I would just like to know, Ms. Richardson, is there anything that you're doing at this point just to help with this situation? Are you taking any classes or, you know, anything like that?
Yes, I've already taken DUI courses, and I am enrolled in the Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Excellent.
I'll be taking that soon.
When does that start?
I just looked it up, like, 2 nights ago, and I can do it whenever, actually.
Oh, so okay.
I plan on doing that soon. It's online.
Excellent.
And that's also the term, that's also in the terms of my probation. So
thank you.
Ms. Richardson, are you currently employed as a PTA and working?
Yes, I am doing outpatient. I'm a contract employee.
Okay.
Not outpatient, home care, I'm sorry. But it's outpatient in the home.
Got it. Okay. And full-time, part-time?
Very, 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 very part-time. I have three clients.
Okay. Okay. Is your employer aware of this complaint?
Not that I know of, no.
If I may, this is Paul Ramos, and Ms. Richardson referred to DUI classes, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but typically I want the board to be aware when a person refers to DUI classes, typically that is a screening, an alcohol or substance abuse screening and treatment that is required. And there's a recommendation of a number of hours typically by that screener. Octavia, that's what you were referring to, correct?
Correct. And it was 16 hours of courses that was recommended. And it's completed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I think I sent it to Ms. Richardson, I believe.
I believe I included it in the review materials, Ms. Richardson.
Yeah, thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Richardson regarding this complaint? Okay, hearing none. Ms. Richardson or Ms. Ramos, do you want to make a final statement or anything additional that we need to know before we go into deliberation?
No, this is embarrassing, but it will never happen again. It will never. You will not see my face again with this. It's truly a mistake. That's all.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, board members, what are your thoughts?
I appreciate Ms. Richardson's candor in this and her wanting to do better, you know, by herself and her profession. So I'm definitely taking that into consideration with this. I'd like to hear what everybody else's thoughts are as well on just how to proceed with this. I guess I'm kind of torn. I'm not really sure what the best way to proceed with this would be.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Giovanni, especially with the everything that's already transpired. I guess my thought would be to send an advisory letter on the importance of reporting in a timely manner.
Yeah, I'm with you. Initially, as I was reading through, you know, there's always some concern about fit for duty and, you know, if there are addiction problems that just haven't bled over into practice yet, but there's a process, possibility of it. But reading through her assessments and the classes that she's taken, I don't necessarily have that concern. So I'm with you, Karen, on and Giovanni on potentially using an advisory letter just to memorialize that we heard this, it's been adjudicated. She's been informed that, you know, we do expect timely notification of any charges. And I think that for me would suffice, but open to any other thoughts. Mr. Barton, do you have any? And it looks like potentially Mr. Greer's back on, but I'm not sure he's officially back in.
So, you know, my perspective on this is similar. I think, you know, I'm very sympathetic. I'm not concerned about an inability to practice. I think the reporting thing is what concerns me. And, you know, I get that there's kind of an excuse here, but I do think that is an issue. And I think it's important to ensure that there's awareness of that. So, you know, I would agree. I think my only statement would be just, you know, make sure that gets done. And it looks like here it may have been entrusted to somebody else to do it. Just make sure that it's done from your end. And I think, you know, that's the kind of it.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, I think that's it though for me.
I mean, I would be terrified if I were in her situation and the attorney tells me that they're going to do something for me. I'm totally putting my trust in my attorney at that time. So I can understand, how.
Yeah, as she should. I mean, right? that's what we do as attorneys. So I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I may have some words about her attorney, but I wouldn't dare. So,
yeah.
But I mean, I get it. And I think, you know, from our perspective, it's just, hey, you know, make sure that it's done. Make sure you're following up with that attorney and okay. Making sure it actually happens.
So that will make a motion to send Ms. Richardson an advisory letter reminding her of her responsibility for reporting, following all of our Practice Act, right, but reporting any charges that, specifically that fall on that list of reportable charges on our website. And that's it.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, then Ms. Chepius, would you call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to issue Ms. Richardson an advisory letter regarding her duty to report in accordance with ARS 323208. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Ms. Richardson, best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, we wish you success. Thanks for being here, Mr. Ramos.
Thank you, Board.